talking amongst yourselves. Is that rain? Sounds like rain. Great. And the incredible Brad's going to grab my pulpit for me. Thanks, Brad. Nah, just... Look at that one-handed man of strength. And why don't we give our creative team a hand? Aren't they incredible? All of them? We have incredible worship in this place. And if you know Sam, he's broke his leg a few weeks ago. I'm sure it's on YouTube how he did that. And he's got a new hairdo. Is that a perm, Sam? Perms are good. I remember when I could do a perm. It's a long time ago. So we're going to jump into week two. And then we're going to split up into our coaching groups. And... just believe for God to do something fresh. I think I said this last time, but you know what? It's not always about the material, but it's actually about the desire and the intent of your heart. Are you with me? We're actually, you're in this room because you've got a heart and a focus to see the freedom of Christ released in your life. And I can tell you, if you have that heart and that desire, that God is going to honor that. True? God grants us the desires of our heart. And if you actually go after it and lean into it, and we've got some coaches who are going to work with you, but we're going to believe for you to see some great changes in your life through what we're doing here. So we're going to start. Well, I have to talk very loud because of the rain. It gets very loud. But that means it's cooling out, down out there, which is probably not a bad thing. Point one. If you don't change your thinking, our lives will never change. That's a statement, but the reality is it's very true. The way you are today is actually being put together by words that have been spoken into your life that have created the way that you've seen yourself and the way that you see your world. And the way that you think about your world. You can actually have people in two different, in the same environment, but can see it completely differently by the way that they think. True? Someone can get on a roller coaster and think it's the most amazing ride they've ever had. And they can be excited and they can just be overwhelmed and it's just amazing. But some person can get on that roller coaster and they can be so afraid and I've actually been on a roller coaster where someone's throwing up. Anyone else been on that? Yeah. Okay. Where you kind of feel a bit of a splatter. Bit of the overflow, right? But because of fear and whatever's going on in that person's life, their experience is completely different to the other person's experience. And the experience is the same, right? The difference is that how the person thinks and what's in their lives. So Proverbs 23 verse says, as a man thinks, he becomes. See, all it takes is one negative word and it can stick into our psyche and can create a whole way of thinking. And I don't know what your background's been, but for a lot of people, life is actually being quite tough and quite hard and a sum of negative words and experiences for a lot of people. For a lot of people, that's actually their testimony of how their life has unfolded. And so we've dealt with all sorts of things in life, whether it's insecurity or fear or negativity or worry. But this can be created by one word, can start and create. And we've got to understand there's a power to negativity. Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Conformed means negatively formed, shaped, and influenced. Our world is constantly, and I think when we understand what we're trying to do with freedom, the reality is if you don't understand this concept, the enemy is constantly trying to entrap us and enslave us. Sin is something that ensnares us and enslaves us. Negativity is something that enslaves you. If you get involved in pornography, it'll enslave you. If you get involved in any worry, it'll enslave you. Anxiety will enslave you. The enemy has always been trying to enslave us. And he uses all these means and ways to try and trap our lives and hold us captive away from the freedom of Christ. Where Christ came, as we understand, when he said, "I, the Lord has anointed me," and he said to set at captivity those that are bound, set at liberty those that are bound and imprisoned. And that's the idea of what we're trying to do here tonight and what we're trying to do through this course. We're trying to allow you to experience the freedom of Christ, knowing that that's what the enemy and that's what the world does. The world wants to conform us, and it wants to make us formed and shaped in influence in its way, which is very anti-God. There are beautiful things about our world, but by and large, most people, by the time they get to an age of maybe 30, they have a list of negative experiences and things that have happened in their lives. And let me just talk about, and one negative word, there's a study that they've done in America. They've researched and they study positive and negative relationships using 700 married couples. And they're talking about a negative emotional feeling and word versus a positive one. And they actually came up, they did this study for 10 years, and they came to the understanding that it was a ratio of 5-1 or 7-1, which means you either need 5 positive words when you have 1 negative word, 5 or 7, just for a person to actually undo the power of a negative word. If I had a bunch of you in this room and I said, "Oh, well, you're a great-looking, incredible bunch of people," and if I said 1 negative thing, that negative word would just recoil in your mind. And for most of the people in this place, you would actually forget the positive and dwell on the negative. True? That's why when you read a newspaper, it doesn't start off with negative things on the front, on the front page, does it? You know, it's either Turnbull does this, or government does this, or North Korea fires missile, or, you know what I mean? It's something like that. If it says, you know, small cat was saved from tree, we'd like, yeah, okay. The reality is this world is conformed, and there is a prince over this world, of this air, and he understands that negativity and trying to enslave people into fear and captivate them, that's his power, and he's after that, and he's been doing that right through the Old Testament. We see how he's been enslaving the people of Israel. And I talked about a few weeks ago, even right now, the children of Israel, the actual nation, are still fighting for their freedom. The enemy can't stand the people of God. He's trying to enslave us and trap us. And that's the world we're up against. But we have a power, and that's the freedom of Christ. And that's what we're here to learn. Sound good? And even there's another study about a teacher, and she actually, whenever she heard one of her students mention something negative about themselves, she made them stand up and recite 7 positive things just to counteract what that one negative thing that they said about themselves. It gives you some idea of how the enemy has used this to try and enslave people's lives. True? Are you still with me? That's why I think we've got to realize that there is a power to the Word of God. You see, a positive word's one thing, but we're actually gathered around tonight something greater than that. We're gathered around the Word of God. We're gathered around truth. And truth is not just a positive word. The truth of God's word actually carries a power that can actually set you free, can actually unravel what the enemy's done. It's not like one word. I can tell you it's the other way around. One of God's words is worth 1,000 of the enemy's. Are you with me? And when we place ourselves in this, you're not in some sort of small little self-help group based around the sayings and quotations of Andrew Harper. Thank goodness. How horrible would that be? We're actually gathered around the freedom of Christ. We're gathered around the word of Christ. This is the power that we have. Overcoming negative thorn trees of memory in our minds is vital. Now, I'm just jumping around, so if you've got your notes, keep going with where we're on page 2. So our thoughts create patterns in our thinking and create neural pathways that we think automatically. There's a great book out if you want to study about literally how negativity and how God's word can actually create a new way of thinking and transform our mind. There's a lady called Caroline Leaf, who's a neurobrain scientist. A brilliant book. If you've ever read How Science is Proving What God Already Does, I encourage you to get a hold of some of that material. It actually teaches you how that brain scientists are realizing that there are pathways. The enemy will create a pathway. You automatically start to think this way and act this way, and how God's word actually can transform and change that and turns a life around. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel should shine on them. You know, the power of God's word is only released when we believe who God is. True? You can study the word of God and you can be outside of God and it won't have the same effect. You have to actually believe in who Jesus is. It takes faith to release the word of God. True? And look, up until that, it can be pre-evangelism. Someone could be studying Jesus and they could find themselves in a relationship with Jesus. But if you're in this room and you're still questioning Jesus and you're still questioning the Bible and you're still questioning that it's truth and you're still questioning that it's power, then I encourage you to actually, this is the idea of this, is for you to tip over that and realize that you've got to be in something. You've got to have a faith and a belief in this word, that it is the absolute truth and it's the word of God and it has a power to change your life. You might have tried all sorts of things to get yourself away from habits and ways of thinking and things that have enslaved you and trapped you for years. But I tell you, unless you've tried the word of God, unless you've allowed it to truly be something that you believe and throw yourself into, you won't see that freedom. It only comes through understanding that this is about God and God's word. Jesus says, I am the word, 1 John 1. He says, the word is me. I am the word. We're not just reading anything. We're reading God. God is the word. He's in this Bible. Every word carries power. It is God. Are you with me? When we understand that, we understand that truth is what can set us free. And that's what we gathered around tonight. John chapter 8, verse 33, then you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need to trust in God and the power of his word to set us free and bring change into our lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4 to 7, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own, or in brackets, old understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your new paths, new wine for new wineskins. It's using two verses here. We're colliding. And I love this. It's not just physical pathways. I actually believe it's pathways of your mind. Do you understand that? Like, it's actual pathways. You begin, if you're a negative person, if you're a person that thinks worry and anxiety and fear, your brain automatically follows a pathway. God actually wants to arrest that and get you to take a completely different direction through the word of God. Amen? And it's like a completely different pathway. You can actually change the way you react to a situation. You can change the way you think. And I know for me, when I ran into Christ at age 21, what my world was framed around is completely different to who I am now. My friends wouldn't recognize who I am. They might physically. I've put on a few pounds, maybe they won't. But what I used to think about and what I gave attention to and how I conducted myself is completely different. And this is the power of the truth of the Word of God. If you give yourself to it, it can do incredible things in your life. Do you believe me? So not just a physical pathway, but there is actually thinking pathways that change. It takes faith to believe in the power of God's truth. But when we do, we start to experience its power in our lives. It gives us hope to overcome. No matter what, how long you've been struggling in some area or some thing that's had a hold over you, you actually have to have faith that God's word will change you. Amen? We can read something. I can read something and I can just read something. But I'm trying to get you to a place where you would actually, you know, the way, I guess, when you start to study the word, it's when you start to realize that every single word carries power. And it slows your reading down. And it actually, everything comes to life when you see it that way. You can read something and yeah, you can read something. But when you realize that what you're reading is truth and has the power to change you, it actually slows your reading down. Like you start to read one verse and you go, hold on, what did that say? Because you realize that every word is a capsule of power that can be released into your life that can bring creative change. True? And that's why you've got study and lexicons and you start to study it out and you run into people like Gareth who love to study out the Greek and the Hebrew and the, you name it. Like I do, I love that stuff. I've got, whenever I do something, I have all these meanings and different translations because every word carries power and God wants to change us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 5. Point number two, God wants to take our brain and restore it. See, the freedom of Christ is when Christ died on the cross, he won back for us all the freedom that we lost when sin entered the world. Are you with me? So we're actually being restored. I don't know if you've ever restored a car. I haven't. I don't have those skills. But if you've ever, has anyone restored anything like furniture or who's a restorer? Harry, my owner? I'm just living in shock, but you've restored. Who wants to hear what Mona's actually restored? What have you restored, Mona?
My kitchen stools, I restore them and they look amazing.
There it is. Kitchen stools. Who else is a restorer of something? Any, yeah. My mum. What have you restored your son? Yeah, sorry, mum. She did too. She bought a house and there was a garden behind her. She didn't even know it was there. And she restored it. But when you restore something, you know, you're bringing it back to its original. You know what I mean? And if you've ever been into cars, you see some of these cars, when someone restores them, they restore them beautifully. Oh my God, immaculately. There's nothing more exciting than seeing a restored car. Well, that's what God's doing. The freedom of Christ is actually restoring you back to how God created you. That's what Jesus won for you on the cross. Amen? He's working on you in every detail, and he uses his truth to do that, to allow our lives to be changed. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 to 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Harnessing our hearts are strongholds. Strongholds can be great and amazing things or horrible demonic things. They may derive from pain and baggage from our childhood, from our past. Strongholds are either fear-based or faith-based clusters. Stronghold is when you can't think yourself out of it. You're just, whenever something happens, it reacts in you and it's a stronghold and you go immediately to that situation. You think that way, you react that way, and you and you're just like, oh. And, you know, I've seen people that have a lot of fear or worry or something like that, and a situation comes and it's just like that. I won't mention who, but I've got someone in my world. You'd ring them up and just go, hi. And they go, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's happened? It's like that's a fear. That's a worry that person's got in their lives. And see, God does he does two ways. Strongholds, he builds strongholds of faith in our lives where we instantly go this way, but we have to work backwards from these strongholds that the enemy has built. And he builds a stronghold just like you would build a fort. He puts little words and thoughts and negative thoughts. He starts to build up a large fort, a stronghold in your life of all these words. He starts gathering all these negative things that have happened in these words, and he builds this cluster and this thought, and it becomes something that becomes a structure in your personality. And thank God that we have the freedom of Christ, because Christ is here to blow those things apart. Amen? To destroy them and pull them down. You must first break down and remove the negative thorn trees of the mind by identifying against what God reveals as his truth. I love that. When you're trying to deal with something in your mind, there's nothing more exciting than knowing something that is purely truth. See, in this world, it's so messed up because they don't know, they don't believe in the truth. We stand in this room knowing that what God's word is the truth. There is no other way outside of God's way. You have to be convinced that it is completely true. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. You don't have to question it. You've got to get to that place where you go, this is truth. You can build your life. You can frame your world around it. Almost there. And I'm going to break up into groups. It's not a case of just our own words carrying the power, but the word of God. That is why the Bible is so powerful and still the best-selling book of all time. Isn't that interesting? Still is. Number one across the world is the Bible. Why? Because it carries God's truth. People understand what it is. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God doesn't say, I can do all things through Andrew who strengthens me. It's Christ in you that allows you to do all things. Amen? And when you get that understanding, when you get that realization of truth, it actually creates a completely different lifestyle for you to live. You start to run to the Word of God. You start to bring truth into a place of authority in your life. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. James 1:21, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save, brackets, restore your soul, your minds. We're laboring this because I want you to realize that the power of what we're doing more than anything here is releasing truth to you systematically so that we can bring freedom. You think, oh, well, I've heard this before. But if you bring some faith into what you're doing here, if you bring some intention to what you're doing here, I can tell you that there's a power that's going to be released into your life to bring freedom. Not because of what I say, but because I know what Christ can do and what his word can do. And we're systematically, as a group, trying to say, God, we just want to see this freedom released. And God has more desire to see you set free than you have to be set free. Amen? Proverbs 4:20-22, my child, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Number three, we're going to finish this and we're going to split up into our groups. Focus on thoughts that generate praise, no matter how you feel. Just something I learned before we get to that. God only builds on his word in your life. I don't know if you've ever understood that. God actually doesn't build on your ability, your talents, your good looks, your finances. He doesn't build on any of that. He uses that, but he doesn't build on that. Are you with me? God actually builds on his word in your life, his purposes. Do you get that? So when you get a hold of God's truth, when you mine the word of God and you start to bring it into your life and lay it, you actually start to build a foundation for God to build his purposes on. So if you're really scattered with that and you're not really that focused and you love God, but the word of God is like way down there. In fact, TV's a little bit higher and what the Kardashians are doing is more important, or what Married at First Sight is, or whatever TV show is up there. And then God just looks at, and you're laying a brick of the word, because it's truth and it's life and it is God in you. And you lay that brick and you're doing one a month. And you've got all these purposes that God's designed for your life. And God goes, that's all I've got to build on. He might have had this humongous mansion for your life with 5 levels and multiple rooms, but all he can build right now is a small toilet. Are you with me? I'm being blunt here, but this is how it works. Because all you've just given him a small little foundation, and God's like, he won't build on your ability. He'll use it, but he won't build on it. The world will. The world builds on your ability, your talents, your education. God actually builds on himself in you, which is his word. And when you lay those bricks, when you lay a foundation of God and truth, and when you create this foundation, God can just start expanding your life and creating rooms of purpose and destiny. And some of you, he's got a plan. Everyone of you in this room was born with a plan, a blueprint for your life that you could was clipped to the back of your head when you were born. You were born for a reason, for a purpose. True? God thought about something he needed done on earth, and he created you. And so you were born with that purpose. Jeremiah 29:11. I know all the plans, God says, for you, future and hope. And so when you were born and you had that, and it's like could be this huge, big plan, Sheila would know all about it. She's an architect with all the detail in the world, and it's this magnificent structure. But he will only build on himself in you. So don't limit. Don't limit what God does with your life. If you're not a student of his word, if you're not building his truth into you, A, you won't see the freedom, and B, you won't see the purposes. Now, is that okay? And the last point, focus on thoughts that generate praise no matter how you feel. Philippians 4:8, fix your thoughts, what is true, what is honorable, what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. We don't have to get religious about what we do with our lives and what we allow to come into our lives, but there it is. There's the recipe. If you're sitting watching something or in something that isn't that, step out of it. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but there it is. True? Psalms 22:3, God inhabits the praises of his people. His presence will turn back those negative, unbelieving thoughts. I will praise him at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. It's very hard to think negatively when you're praising God, truly praising God. Try it sometime. Try building out a really good song and getting behind it and thinking negatively. It actually is really quite tough. Isaiah 61:3, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Love that. Look at the exchange. Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. A garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What incredible promises. That's the purpose of God. Whatever you, when you allow him to work in your life, he will replace mourning for joy. He'll replace ashes and deadness across your life. And he'll make it beautiful, like my mum did with the garden. Amen? So what we're going to do now, we're going to get into your groups and meet with your coaches. And we're going to do some little bit of discussing, and then we'll come back for a bit more and we will finish on time. Believe it or not. So we'll give you 15 minutes. So if you're not in, be assigned to a group, come and see Mona down the front here if you've never met your coach. So coach, where are we? We going? We go to the same place as we were last time. Is that all right? Okay, everybody, just grab your seats, turn them back around if you can. We come back together and we'll, so we can finish on time. Okay, grab your seats. Doesn't matter exactly which way they're facing. You can just figure out. We're going to got 15 more minutes and then we'll be finished. How did we go? Good, getting to know your group, getting to know your coaches. I think this is the one of the most important parts of what we're doing is keeping each other accountable. Just a reminder to the coaches afterwards, we're going to just do a 10-minute debrief out through the cafe after the meeting. It won't take long. But I'm going to jump into the second part, which is actually really quite important. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, I know there's a lot of people in this room where you're familiar with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But if we're actually going after freedom in our lives, if we're actually believing for the freedom of Christ to be something that we own in our own lives. And if we're not open to the Holy Spirit, then you're actually just missing out on one of the greatest powers and personalities of the Godhead that actually allows us to experience and feel and helps us to get the freedom of Christ. Maybe the sound guy, we could turn the music down. Thank you, Chris. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And the first thing we understand, if you look at the early church in Acts, they straight away encountered the Holy Spirit. True? The actual very first church, as we know it, which we're an example of, which we are modeling ourselves on, they didn't try and do anything without the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus didn't minister without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? He got baptized, and then the dove descended, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was taken off into the desert, and had tempted 3 times, and then his whole ministry began out of that. And so for us as believers, if you want to leave your growth away from experiencing the Holy Spirit, I don't want to sound condescending, but good luck. Because if it was what Jesus needed for himself, and if he needed that connection, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, if he relied on the power of the Holy Spirit himself, then we as believers, it's an area in our lives that we've got to open ourselves to. And if we jump into John chapter 14, verse 17, it says, "He is the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth." Now, you've got to understand, if you've got a desire to grow in God, and the early church had a desire to spread the message and allow the gospel to reach everyone, and the church didn't start until they all met in the upper room, remember? And they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then their mandate was released to go and do what they were called to do. And for you in your lives, if you want to see the freedom of Christ, I've got to tell you, the Holy Spirit was actually Christ. He said himself, he said, "It's good that I go, because when I go, I get to leave you a helper." And that word helper means paraclete, the one that comes alongside. And he actually reveals the truth to you. And when it comes to understanding the truth of God's word, for me personally, the word tells us to do this. I actually, when I'm reading the Bible, actually ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what has been said. And I talk to the Holy Spirit as a personality, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The 3-in-1, but the separate personalities. And the best way I've ever explained that and known it's been explained to me when I was a brand new Christian is water. Water can be 3 separate personalities. True? It can be ice, it can be water, and it can be steam. It's still H2O, still the same chemical balance, yet steam will burn you. Water, you'll get wet. And ice, you can hold. It's solid. But it's the same thing. And the Trinity is made up of 3 different personalities. And you actually relate them. Christ is a personality, God the Father personality, and the Holy Spirit's a personality. Are you with me? And for us to step into this part of our lives, that's why we're in week 2. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, because we don't want you to go any further until you get over this hump. Until you realize that the Holy Spirit's power in your life, the ability for him to reveal truth in your life and walk alongside you, he's the one that actually speaks into our lives and whispers in our ears and gives us the ability and gives us words of knowledge and gives us wisdom. Are you with me? And so it's an area of our lives that we need to understand. And I know in the very short time we've got, we're only just introducing you to it. And I guess what my pledge to you is, if you are not open and if you haven't been open to the Holy Spirit and you've never been baptized by the Holy Spirit and you don't have a prayer language, I would like to meet you afterwards, not to do it all tonight, but to work out a way that we can actually lead you through this and into this place. And I've done that for many years. I used to be a new Christians pastor at Hillsong for I don't know how many years. And hundreds of people we used to help lead. When I was in Canada last week, we had a group, a whole group that were, I was just leading them in receiving their gift of tongues, speaking in tongues. A whole bunch of people had never done it before. And we had 100% success. Doesn't always happen that way, but we did. And it's an area in our lives we're pausing on in this, and we're coming to the second week, and we're going, if you don't understand this, we'd love to see you understand this. And I understand there could be all sorts of thoughts and things going through. You might have come from a different background theologically or from a different church or think this way. But I actually cannot see how you can really move forward without understanding this power that we have in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. Initial evidence of infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's important that we see the evidence. And what we've outlined to you, I'm not going to read them all, is just a recording through. See, the book of Acts is just it's actually like someone writing a testament, they're observing the early church. Acts literally is the acts of the church, the things they did, right? So someone's recorded it. That's what the book of Acts is. And if you look through these scriptures here, there are just indications of where the Holy Spirit and the difference between being baptized in water and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. If we jump down to Acts 19, verse 1, or maybe it's further on. Let me have a look. Yeah, that's right. And it says, it happened in Apollos and Corinth, and Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So he's talking to believers, right? Are you with me? He's talking to Christians. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. So they said, we've been baptized in water. And he goes, okay, cool. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized them with the baptism of repentance, with water, saying to them, to these people, that they should believe on him and would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, verse 6, thing on the cross, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Two different things. Are you with me? There's a lot more as you read through those, and you want to get your head around it. There are two different things going on here. And the early church knew that, and they knew that the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the one that helps you decipher the Word of God, and he brings it, illuminates it as you read it. It's the power that he enables you to grow and see this freedom that you have in Christ. Amen? So, if you've got questions on that, we can talk about it. And like I said, afterwards, I'll be here. And, you know, if it's an area that you have not experienced, we're going to work out a way that we can meet with you and do that and get you to that place. Is that all right? Because this is the whole idea of what we're trying to do here. Some people have just been held out of growing because they've got to a place where they haven't got over that area. But I want to make sure that everyone understands. Everyone in this room can actually have the prayer language, which we're about to talk about now, which is called speaking in tongues, or it's a Holy Spirit prayer language that you can have. And it's not that difficult. Sometimes it just takes the right teaching and the right way to respond to it, but you can have it. It's a gift, amen? But it's incredibly powerful. It talks about it here. Number 3, build yourself up to overcome temptation. Our prayer language of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, the Apostle Paul said. It's a powerful language. You can say all sorts of prayers, but I tell you what, when you speak in tongues, it's like God reveals what you really need, and he's praying through you and using you to do that. Amen? That's what God's doing. You're initiating the Holy Spirit. So 4, a supernatural way of speaking directly to God. And you know what? I think that's why it's had such a beat up in the church. Because if you actually get your head around what this is, it's incredibly powerful. And the enemy, the last thing he wants you to do is to connect with this power in your life and this authority that you have and this language that you have. It's the very last thing he wants you to do. He wants to confuse you. He wants you to come against it. He wants you to think it's for someone else, not for yourself, that you're not worthy of it. It's a gift that you can receive. It's your spirit man talking directly to God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 to 15. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the spirit and I will also sing with understanding. And the hardest thing for us as believers is when we actually speak in tongues, we actually don't know what it says, but it's God's prayer coming through us. Amen? Praying straight into the areas that we need. The greatest thing for me as a believer is when I get overwhelmed with something. When I, you know, if you've got a sick child and you get to that place where you just, words don't cut it. Been there, right? Most parents have. And what do you do in that moment? You know, I quite often jump into tongues. I start praying in tongues because God knows exactly what needs to be done more than my mind does. And it's a prayer. It's a powerful place. Whenever I'm thinking about a situation, I just start to pray in tongues. I'm believing for a spiritual breakthrough. I pray in tongues. I allow this spirit language to carry my intent. And it's like Holy Spirit is actually praying through you. Amen? I mean, the concept is that you actually get to activate part of the Trinity to pray on your behalf. Do you actually get that? I mean, when you pray normally, you send up a prayer to heaven. That's amazing. There's nothing wrong with that. Go straight to the throne room. Incredible. But when you speak in tongues, you actually activate one of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to pray on your behalf. That's wild. Who gets to do that? That's why it's had some, you know, it's like the enemy doesn't want it in the church because, you know, if our Christianity was about getting from A to B, it's like if you don't want to open your life to the Holy Spirit and His power and His authority and His help in your life, it's like you're jumping into a mini minor. If your whole life destination was about getting from A to B the quickest way possible, and you jump in this mini, but right next to that mini is a, I'm a boy, right? Is a Ferrari. God's given you the latest Ferrari, the most amazing, quickest car on this earth, okay? It's not a Ferrari, it's a Bugatti. Whatever. It's sitting there right there, and it's the most amazing car, and your whole purpose in life is to get from A to B as quick as possible. And you step into the mini. And God's going, why? Jesus said, when I go, he said to the disciples, that I've gone because I'm leaving you with the Holy Spirit. He was the one that enabled me to walk, work in miracles because Jesus was us walking through the Old Testament. So he had all the power and the authority of God as he walked through. Are you with me? And he used the Holy Spirit. He ministered through the power of the Holy Spirit like we do. And then, so we get into this Ferrari and this is what God's offering us. And there's a whole bunch of the church who gets in the mini. And when we can just, yeah, God just must go, okay, all right, I don't get it. I'm sorry, Holy Spirit, I don't understand why they don't want to involve you in all of this. Am I getting through? Hopefully, because I want to make sure that you get your head around this because it's incredible. And I love the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you, you know, it's your anointing on your life. That's the Holy Spirit. So we get the supernatural way of speaking directly to God. Guidance to receiving the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14. If you pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive, bears no fruit, and helps nobody. Spirit doesn't speak in tongues that through you. Holy Spirit's helping you pray. Your spirit pray. Amen? Acts 2:4, then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak different languages by the power of the Holy Spirit was given them. And that's it. I'm going to stop there. But it's an intro. And it's an invitation. It's an invitation for us here at Bay City. We'll work with you so that you understand what it is to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. I'll do it with our team. I'll do it me personally. We'll work with you. And you might have prayed and tried before. I had one gentleman who came from a, this is back when I think back at Hillsong many years ago, where he grew up a Brethren who just taught that everything about the Holy Spirit was evil. And he just had so much thinking. Whenever we prayed for him and tried to get him to speak in a prayer language, this stuff would come up. So I actually put him into a Bible college. They were doing a course on the Holy Spirit. So he spent, I think, 6 weeks doing this to retrain himself. And then he came back in and he received it, prayed for and received it straight away. So sometimes it takes a bit of reconditioning, right? To get your head around it. And that's it. We're finished. Can I pray for you before we go? Especially on the ear of the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you. God, I once again just thank you for the hearts that are in this room. I thank you for them, that God, that they've put themselves in this position, Father God, to go after your freedom. God, to release what you have won for them upon the cross. And God, we know that you grant us the desires of our heart, and I know that you're going to grant the desires in this room for people just to see what level of freedom they need to receive in you, God, that they would receive it, that they would be different, that your truth would change them, God, as they get a hold of it and devote themselves to it. And God, we just pray in the ear of the Holy Spirit, God, you know every single heart in this place, but God, I pray that there would be an openness to receiving all that you have won for them, and that they would be, for those in this room, God, that don't know the power of your Holy, haven't experienced you, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal yourself to them, that we would enable them, God, to understand what it is to have a prayer language and open their lives to your effect, Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for every single person, God, you would protect them, keep them safe, God, and keep them committed to seeing your freedom released in their lives. I'm back in a couple of weeks, and have an awesome Easter, God. We pray for protection. Anyone that's traveling or going somewhere, that you would just look after them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you all. So I'll hang around. If you want to talk to me about Holy Spirit or whatever, you just come and say hello. Other than that, dismissed. We've finished a few minutes late. For all the coaches, don't remember, Mona wants to catch you afterwards just for a